You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have hip-hop and R&B sensation artist Wow Ash Wow. Say hello, Wow Ash Wow.
Hello, Nikki. Hello, Wake Up Hollywood. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Of course. We're very excited to have you. And originally, are you from New York or did you move there from somewhere else?
No, so I'm originally from the Philly, South Jersey area, and then I moved to New York City to go to college, and then right after college, moved back to the Philly area, stayed there for about a year or so, and then moved out here to L.A.
I love Philly. I've played all over. I've played in clubs. I've played at colleges out there. Jim's Philly Cheesesteaks is still my favorite.
Oh, okay, so Jim's is good. All right. If you're from Philly, D'Alessandro's is where it's at.
Oh, I've never been there. Oh,
yeah, because D'Alessandro's is where the people from Philly go to get a
I like that. Story. Yeah, because I was always told Gino's, Jim's, and there's another one. Those are like the three tourist ones, but Jim's is my favorite of the three. Oh, D'Alessandro's, I just the name at all. Like that.
Yeah,
just
like D'Alessandro's is like this little hole in the wall spot that's been there since like the 1950s. And if you're from Philly, you know exactly where it is. There's usually a line that's all the way down the block.
Wow.
The people that work behind the counter are rude as fuck, and that's what makes it even more better.
That's awesome.
You get attitude and a fantastic cheesesteak.
And is it on 6th Street or no? No, Congress. No. Congress is the main street, right?
Yeah, no, it's like in the cut in South Philly. Awesome. So it's close to it's like around 10th and Oregon.
Okay.
Which there is like an Oregon Steaks there. Also good, but you know, we can just make this whole conversation a chat about cheesesteaks. I'm also hungry, which is why.
Well, are you in LA now?
On its way. Yes, I'm in LA now.
All right, so my spot for cheesesteaks here is Booze, B-O-O apostrophe S. That's pretty good.
My spot for cheesesteaks in L.A. is none of them.
Ah!
I don't.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
The bread's not even right, Nikki.
Well, have you tried Booze? You've tried Booze, I assume?
I've tried Booze, although the closest thing that was okay, so there's like a company from South Philly that actually came here and they do like the cheesesteak. That's like,
okay, legit.
That's pretty solid. And
I like that. I like that you're giving me the Philly cheesesteak lowdown. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite sandwiches ever.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like it's so easy. It's such a simple sandwich, but it's so easy to like mess up. Yeah. This is really about to become like a whole food chat. And I'm here for it. Fully here for it. We don't even need to talk about my single dropping none of the videos.
We're gonna get to all that, but you know what? Like, food, they're like, it's like neck and neck for me, so you know, it's like I love that stuff.
Food, music, yeah, it's around the same for me as well.
So, did you grow? You grew up in Philly. What was the music scene like growing up in Philly?
So the music scene for me growing up in like the Philly, South Jersey area was very interesting because I grew up in like the emo punk rock scene.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like the only black kid going to like the punk rock shows and like riding my bike down, you know, to the VFW halls to get in mosh pits and throw fists and all.
who were you into? Who was like a band that you were just like crazy?
So there was the Early November. There was back then My Chemical Romance. I was absolutely addicted to Taking Back Sunday. Yeah. Was a major influence. And then I started getting into like a little bit more of like the heavy metal and like death metal phase, and was listening to like Pantera, AC/DC, Sepultura, and then also like Dream Theater as well. And that's what influenced my guitar playing as well. Yeah.
That's
I'm a rock and roll girl at heart.
You know, I have bad respect for that, because it's like, you know, like I like when people just cross genres. I don't care if it's like what you're listening to or what you're making. I just think that that's so unbelievable, because it should be like that. Music blends the lines between genres. And I just love when people do that, because that's where I am. I mean, I'm actually way into African music. So I actually do a lot of world music. And then I also do a lot of funk music and blues. And it's like I'm constantly going down different rabbit holes. So I love when people tell me they've got different influences. So was it like your friends in high school or your friends in junior high that kind of got you into the music? Was it family? Was it?
No, actually, it was my big brother. So my big brother, when I was little, he used to play in this punk rock band called the Black Kids. And he was actually the only black kid in the band. But when I was little, I used to like sneak downstairs in the basement when they would all be rocking out. And I would just kind of like peek my head over to be like, oh, what are y'all doing over there? And he would, you know, chase me away and be like, get away. Like, we're doing things. And I would like run maybe like 2 feet up the stairs and then poke my head back down to like see and watch. And then finally he would like let me join in on their band rehearsal. Cause I'm like, listen, you can either keep chasing me away, or you could just let me sit here.
You should have come down with cheesesteaks and been like, yo, I've got rehearsal break food right here.
Yeah, but it was like 3-year-old little me in like my feety pajamas, like interrupting like this punk rock, full out punk rock experience. Wow. And here I am in my feety pajamas with my Mickey Mouse logos being like, I want to watch.
So, did he sing? Did he play guitar, bass? What did he play?
He was a drummer. Yeah, my brother is a drummer. And what he used to do that was like very soothing to me, I think I'm the only little kid that would fall asleep in front of the bass drum while it was still playing. That's all I literally wanted to do is just like, I wouldn't bother them. I would just sit in front of the bass drum and just listen to everybody play and watch them and then take a nap. You know, and
what's cool about that is like punk rock, you have to be a great drummer to play punk rock. It's just like a very involved art form for drums, especially. So I always have mad respect for punk rock drummers, because they can do a lot more. They play faster. They're playing more than most. And they're doing tempos that are a lot more elevated than most music. So yeah, I just have mad respect for punk rock drummers.
Yeah,
so,
and when you combine, you know, he studied jazz, but punk rock was his love. So he combined like his study of jazz, because in my household, everyone growing up always played an instrument. Like I, you know, as soon as I turned 5, I was in piano lessons and taking dance and everything. And that's just kind of like the tradition in my family. It's like, oh, you know, you're going to play an instrument, pick one. And everyone's normally piano or drums. And I was like, well, I'm going to play guitar. And they're like, okay, fair enough. You know, let's get you some lessons. Because if you're going to play guitar, we want to hear actual music and not noise.
I got to tell you, I've only opened for one band from the Roots, from Philly, and it was the Roots. And they were... I mean, I got to tell you, I've opened up for a lot of national acts, big bands, and the Roots are the only band that when I was watching them play, I'd literally turn to my band and I'm like, we need to rehearse 9 times a week. They were that good. They were that cool. They let us watch them play on stage, which was super amazing. But I just had, I had so much respect for the Philly music scene right away, just because it was like, who are these guys and where are they from?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I knew the Roots, but I didn't realize that they were going to be as ass-kicking as they were.
Yeah, Philly scene, especially the Roots and just like the real like Philly bands and musicians, they don't fuck around, you know,
right?
Like, because you know how Philly, you've been in Philly, so you understand how Philly audiences can be if you're not immediately.
They will straight up heckle you off the stage if you
know, you will. That's why my my mom and my big brother, they always told me, they're like, listen, if you can move the audience in Philly and in New York City, you can move them anywhere. Because New York and Philly, they are the toughest crowds to please. Like,
yeah, that's very true.
They're very, very tough. So if they are moved, they're like, you are actually doing something. Awesome.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say I used to, so my very first gig, once I turned 13, I started like playing guitar and learning my instrument. Then I actually like started writing music and got a band. So my first gig that I did was when I was 16, and it was at the Knitting Factory when it was still open.
That's amazing.
And then did CBGBs before they like shut down. And then went on tour when I was 17 and did stuff with the Vans Warped Tour. And then immediately went to college right after that.
So you were going to New York as like a high school kid?
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to New York when I was like 15, 16, 17 with my big brother and my mom and playing shows and just doing things up there like at all times. Like I've always had a very supportive family when it comes to my music and the things that I want to do. And I always joke, I'm like, I never had a show mom. She just had like a show child. I was the one that was like, mom, I need lessons for this. I need dance lessons. I need these lessons. And she's like, okay. Like,
well, and you know what? Really cool. It's like iron sharpens iron, and you're already coming from a big music scene with Philly and then going to New York and cutting your teeth there. I mean, you're just like, you're getting double the dosage from two of the most vibrant music scenes. Tell me what that transition was like coming from Philly and even experiencing that as a high school kid.
Yeah.
New York.
So moving from Philly to New York was actually probably one of the most pivotal points of my life because, number one, New York is where I actually discovered the ballroom scene.
Wow.
When I was little, so the whole house, ballroom, and that entire culture. When I turned 17, I went to my very first ball there. And it literally changed my life. And then after that,
What about the experience changed your life?
When I went to my first ball in New York, it changed my life because the entire experience, it was mind-blowing. I was very much, even though I played punk rock music, even though I, you know, rocked out all the time, and I could be on stage and be comfortable and everything, but just in real life, I was a very awkward kid. Awkward. Right. I'm still awkward, but it's getting a little better.
Most artists are. We're just like a different breed of people, so yeah, I get it.
But then when I actually, like, discovered the whole, like, ballroom scene, I just saw people being the most authentic version of themselves. And that was absolutely incredible and beautiful to me because I've never, you know, I grew up in the suburbs and I grew up in an environment where, you know, you're forced so much to like fit into these square box and bubbles and you need to assimilate to what essentially everyone else is to doing. And you have to get along in order to like fit in. And I've always been very much like, listen, I've just always been very much like, you know, why? Why? I'm just going to do my own thing and just be in my own little, you know, world. So seeing that was very, very encouraging. Also, just the pageantry, the gowns, the outfits, the performance, that is the biggest influence that the ballroom scene had, is just being able to really, like, there's a difference between playing a show and putting on a performance and an experience.
Right.
And every time I was going to these balls, they were experiences. And so it influenced me to be like, when I step on stage, I don't want it to just be a show. I want it to be an experience. I want people to be influenced the way how when I saw, for example, Naomi Mizrahi do her performance on stage, or when I see someone that I admire perform, I want to take that same feeling back, and I want to like relay it to someone and influence them the way how I've been influenced. So, yeah.
Did you start with singing? Did you start with playing an instrument? What did you start first and kind of how did singing. You kind of go around? Okay, so you started singing. Yeah. How old were you when you yeah. started?
I started singing when I was 5. I actually did my first live performance also when I was 5.
Like a school show or something?
So it was actually the 4-H County Fair. Okay. And it was the adult singing. Well, it was just like the all ages like pageant competition that we had because I'm from the country. So they had like a whole like pageant and it was, I would say about like 30 people that did a whole bunch of things like from singing to bands playing to everything. And I came out in like my frilly blue dress. And I was very obsessed with Madonna, so I had to have fingerless gloves. And my fingerless gloves and my hair just Dolly Parton big and, you know, came out and sang Diana Ross, Reach Out and Touch.
Oh, that's a great song. What a killer track.
And they were like, who is this 5-year-old child singing Diana Ross? And just like,
you're like, okay, and, let's do it.
Yeah, and by the way, I won first place.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you knew at a very young age, you're like, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. How do I get to world domination? So did you learn other instruments just from having a musical family? Did you gravitate towards any instrument or was singing always the thing that you just always came back to?
So I actually started to gravitate towards guitar because so for the longest time, I grew up in a very religious household. And, you know, the music that was allowed was gospel music, unless there was an exception. John Bottom from The Who, my grandmother was like, that boy can hit those things. So, like, The Who was acceptable, and that was it. Like, The Who, also Queen, because she loved Freddie Mercury and his voice, and then like the Mississippi Mass Choir.
An eclectic so that source was like, inspiration.
Yeah, that was like my listening music growing up. Oh, and from time to time, Frank Zappa, but none of the dirty stuff.
Okay.
Like, I didn't get a chance to listen to the dirty albums until I was like 17. Like, but, you know, a lot of his like instrumental stuff. So that is really what like influenced me. And then when I was in New York, I discovered the ballroom scene. And then I went to my first like underground battle.
Hip hop battle?
Yeah, hip hop battle.
Oh, dope.
And at that underground battle was a very, very young teenage Joey Badass.
Wow.
And he destroyed everybody. Like,
and it's all freestyle too. That I feel like that is like one of the most, it's the unsung hero of hip hop. It's like freestyling is such a creative improvised art form that is just, it's on fire for me. Cause I'm just like, man, how are you composing like that on the spot and making digs and like, you know, making it funny, making it rhythmic, making it musical and all on the fly. It's just so
I feel like a lot of freestyle artists are some of the most intelligent creatures. The freestyle artists that do it well.
Right.
Emphasis on do it well. The freestyle artists that do it well are probably some of the most intellectual creatures that you will ever encounter because, like you're saying, the nuances, the things that they're saying, the ability to be able to put that all together and, you know, it's so much more than just like, oh, they're rapping. Like, this is art.
Yeah,
you're fully watching art.
Yes. I when I see it, I'm like, man, their brains are working in hyperspeed. And it's just like to do it like they are cramming 1,000 ideas in a matter of seconds and doing it with flow, with nuance, with swagger, with humor. And I find it to be one of the most ultra creative art forms. And it's also kind of so badass that it's underground. I think the best is when it's underground, you know, it's like, well, as soon as it becomes like fashionable, it almost loses its cool. It's like, unfortunate in that regard, but man, There's so much great underground hip hop and
there's so many.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, how I got my introduction and really just like cut my teeth, besides, you know, my brother as well being an influence between punk rock. He was also hardcore hip hop. So like Wu-Tang 36 Chambers of Death is like, you know, it was like my required listening, like that he would give me. And that, you know, that is what that album in particular is what made me be like, okay, I'm gonna see what like a battle is like, and I'm gonna like, you know, explore and find these things. So I went to like this hole in the wall in Brooklyn, like all the way in like Far Rockaway area, and it was, I saw it and saw him perform and saw all the other, you know, just the art that was happening, and I was like, oh, I do this now. I'm doing this. Right. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. So then it was literally me just going to freestyle battle after freestyle battle and just being there and watching and absorbing and understanding like the nuances, and then going home and practicing and writing and writing. Cause I had already been, I am a songwriter, and I had already been writing, you know, since age 7, but writing for, you know, creating and crafting verses for hip hop is an art form. And even as a songwriter, and I had, you know, by that time, like I was 17, I wrote my first song at 7. I had been writing for 10 years.
Wow.
Like, that is still, it was a whole new ball game. And it took, it takes some time for you to craft bars that are actually saying something and are fire, and because it is so easy to do trash bars.
Well, do you think, you know, that your craft of songwriting became an influence as you were kind of freestyling, like because you knew how to craft a song, it made it easier to springboard into freestyling? Or do you think it was like, because you take more time when you're crafting songs than freestyling, because you're doing it right in the moment, do you think it kind of hindered some of that creative improvisation?
Well, for me, the way how I write songs, I know that everyone always has like a very, like, you know, I crafted this and I wrote this verse, and they have a very intricate way of like, this is how they write the song. But for me, it's a weird process. It's like the song was already in my head, and so I need to just write fast enough to get it down.
Wow.
So when it came to freestyling, it was, I was able to not, you know, it wasn't like super easy to transition. No,
but it's second nature for you, because you're like,
you know, it became comfortable for me. Like once I got over, you know, the jitters of being like, oh God, I hope I don't suck. And then, you know, then the next thing is finding your cadence and your flow. Like, what's your flow going to sound like when you are
also finding your stage? Voice, like finding what you're going to talk about and how you're going to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? What's my rap voice going to sound like? Like, all of those things. Like, what is my signature? And, you know, you go through a whole bunch of phases where you try to figure that out. And one of the things that was difficult for me for hip hop is that I would get frustrated early on because I'm like, I don't sound like that person, or I'm not sounding like the New York City drill rappers, or I'm not sounding like Nicki, I'm not sounding like this I'm not sounding like that person. And to be honest with you, Nicki, it's only now recently that I'm like, that's okay that I don't sound like them.
Right.
Because Nicki sounds like Nicki, and she's great because she sounds like she sounds.
Right.
You know, Meg sounds like Meg because she has crafted her own sound.
Yep.
And a lot of the rap artists that you remember for, like, nobody sounds like Lil Wayne. Nobody sounds like
you. A lot of it, I feel like the artist path is like you're trying to sound like somebody that you admire, and in missing that, you find your own voice. It's like you end up landing in some other uncharted territory where you're like, oh, this is different. Oh, I like this because I haven't heard anything like this. So it's like familiar and unfamiliar at the same time. And I think that's where the best songs kind of come about. Tell me what it was like for you going to school. Where did you go to school in New York?
Yeah, I went to New School University.
Oh, amazing. Awesome.
Yeah. So for the people that don't know New School, it's part of, like, if you've ever seen Inside. New
curriculum altogether, right?
Yeah. So it is a liberal arts college, and they focused on arts and education. There was no fraternities, no sororities. They don't even have sports teams. It's like, you know, and it's Parsons School of Design. So it's literally like creative or like learning.
Was it like a conservatory? It must have been like a conservatory a little bit, like so many hyper creative people mm-hmm. just all in one place, kind of like bouncing off each other. That must have been incredibly inspiring.
It going to New School and meeting the people that I've worked with and like connecting with them, that has had such a major influence on me, because those people, you know, watching them come up, you know, I found my first house, like House of La Doja, which is now, you know, like the infamous like house that, you know, gets even Beyonce has shouted out my house, or even my friend like Zebra Cats, who came through there. And then there's also a lot of like well-known like actors and actresses who I'm just like, I remember smoking a blunt with you at the party. That's awesome. You know, and now I'm like watching you accept like a Golden Globe. Sickening. So it's very much when I picked that school, because I actually selected it myself, it was my first and only choice. I even applied early admission. I said, I'm going here. This is the school that I want to go to.
That's amazing.
And y'all are going to give me a scholarship.
Well, I mean, you probably knew, because you had been so creative for all the years from your, you know, really your formative years, that you just knew what you wanted and who you wanted to be and the environment you wanted to kind of be cultivated in. So it totally makes sense. Let's play something. What do you want to play us first?
Let's get into actually the live, so they can see like what the whole vibe is. Or should we wait for that and like let them?
No. I like, let's kick down the door.
Let's kick down the whole door so you can understand what Wow Ash Wow is and like the essence of me. I'm talking in third person, but
all right, here's Wow with the live. Sam, did you hear that? Where are you, Sam?
Sam, I see a chat popping up.
Hold on, let's see. He said, what's the name of the song?
Oh, it's Hustle Hard.
Okay, and do it again for safety. All right. Hustle Hard. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go! Let's go! Time I spit a verse, so memorize these words, because it's very fucking critical. Put it in your heart. wanna stay alive. Shit, keep on steady grinding, man. Fuck that 9 to 5. As the cush gets rolled and the blunts burn slow, middle finger to them haters, better learn. Just that hustle hard if you wanna stay alive. Shit, keep on steady grinding, man. Fuck that 9 to 5. As the cush gets rolled and the blunts burn slow, middle finger to them.
Slamming.
Yeah, man, thank you.
I was grooving so hard. I'm like, of course she's Philly. I mean, this is crazy. So yeah. This band, did you meet here or did you meet from the new school?
I actually met the band here. So how I met them was very fascinating. Like 3 years ago, when I wanted to get started with my music out here in LA, I was actually like, I had my very first gig and it was at this cannabis dispensary in Northern California. And I was like, I would love to play and do a set with y'all. However, I really want like a band. So if you know a band or if there's anybody, and oddly enough, he was like, I know a band, and it was these guys. And I knew that it was sort of like kismet because I only sent them like my backing tracks at the time.
Right.
They learned everything. And then we only had like one 45-minute rehearsal And then we got on stage and played. And it was like we've been playing for years and years and years. And
it sounds like a seasoned band. I mean,
you know, and those are just, those are my guys. Those are my brothers.
And the tune was just like grooving. I mean, it was just, it was funky. It had like rock elements, it had some punk elements, had some uber R&B and just great hip hop elements. But man, I love your delivery. Your delivery was amazing. Your voice sounds amazing. Songwriting, the hook, everything was super cool.
Thank you.
Did you kind of like jam out and then you just came up with this, or did you have that before and you came in, you're like, let's try this. I want to try this with this.
I had, so that was actually, that song is my very first hip hop song that I wrote. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was my very first hip hop song that I wrote. And I bought it to them and they've actually breathed a whole new life into it that it didn't have. Cause you know, we changed some of the arrangements, we added horns. Like if you heard the original version of what it was, it's actually never been released. But if you heard the original version, you'd be like, oh, it's, this is the version.
Well, I mean, this is the version at all times. Legs and it's got hips, you know, so just grooves and you're in it from the first beat, you're in it. So kudos to you. That was a great, great way to kick down the door. And just know, just address the song by the title, because I can't remember the song titles from the email. But you know what? Let's tell me a little bit about, like, so you graduate from school and now it's like time to be an artist. You've been learning how to be an artist all this time. Tell me what that first step into walking into the fire and becoming an artist was like for you.
So it's actually funny because I graduated from college, got into a toxic relationship, and stopped doing music.
Wow. That's crazy.
Stopped doing music and then didn't understand why I was just like depressed all the time and not, you know, happy at all. And it's actually the cannabis scene is what reignited my passion for music. Because I, you know, was going to festivals and stuff. And at this festival that I went to, there was like this cannabis like activism group there. The Normal, Philly Normal was there. And I was just really inspired by the people that were talking. And so I got really involved in that and started like doing just a whole bunch of activism work and like also helping to throw like underground events.
That's cool.
You know, like helping to like do all of that stuff. And it was the people that I was working with that they would hear me sing from time to time, or they would hear me just, you know, do anything music. And they're like, why are you not doing music? And I'd be like, but honestly, it was because it was like a source of friction between myself and the person that I was with at the time.
I always tell people, it's like when people stop music, it's like music never leaves us. We leave music. So it's like you literally went down a different path and left music to kind of find yourself again and come back to it. But the music never leaves. It's just in you, you know?
Yeah, it never leaves. And I find that's what has been the driving force for me, is because, you know what, Nikki, no matter how many times I walk away or just thought this is probably not hang it up, some way, somehow, something was coming back around to be like, oh no, girl.
Yeah.
Oh no, bitch, this is what you do. Like, this is what you do. And we're going to remind you that this is what you do. Like, you are an artist, you are a musician. You do this, like, you know, and now for me, it's like creating and music and everything. Like, I need to create the way I need to breathe, if that makes any sense.
Yep. And I feel like music is one of those things where it's like, I'm so scared to like not be around it because I just don't know if I could live without it ever. You know, it's like, it becomes like your lifeline. So You said it. You can't breathe without music. And on that note, what are we going to play next? Let's get to the next tune.
Okay, let's actually get into now my latest one, Class Enrollment. that I have. So that is my second album that I'm going to be releasing this upcoming June. It's titled The Algorithm. And the reason why I called that is because this album is me getting back to truly the essence of who I am as an artist. There was a period of time when I came out here to LA that I was very focused on, I gotta make music to feed like the algorithms. Like, I gotta make it TikTok friendly. I gotta make it all the things for social media. So the algorithm. And now right. I'm kind of just like, fuck that algorithm. Fuck that whole algorithm. Because like, how am I going to let basically essentially an app that is created from zeros and ones tell me that my shit that comes from my soul is not worth people listening to?
Amen.
And so.
Right. You said it right, yeah. Right there and then.
Yeah. And so once I realized that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to create music that makes me happy, that I feel that people can vibe to and jam out to. And yeah, I just want to make the shit that makes me stomp my feet. And so now you have the very first introduction of that, and that's Class Enrollment, and it's this upcoming video that you're going to introduce.
Here's Wow Ash Wow with Class Enrollment.
I was once was lost, ain't never been found. Cause every time I speak, it's like lips to the ground. Cause I'm not metaphysical, spitting is spiritual. Flowing like water, nigga, drinking up the lyrical. Bitch, I ain't never had a silver spoon. Black kids, statistics turn me to a goon. And now I want the moon and the whole world surrounding it. You can call me crazy, bitch, not overcoming. There's no stopping it, head to toe. Ain't a damn thing about me, sloppy hoe. So off you go, but I work still tight. Working on myself, yo, it's been so inspiring. One day you're gonna ask me soon if I'm hiring. Christmas, Columbus, no accident, I found a shit. Practice safe sex, look a wild bitch. Follow it, can't be a hoe with the 8-mile road. It's a backdoor shit, be pulled on the flow shit. Give them some more shit, big blocks that roll it. You can't control it, better don't slow it. Read these bitches called Class Enrollment.
Class Enrollment. Class Enrollment. Class Enrollment. But it's fire, some want the love, but bitch, send a wire. Fuck all the fame, I need the empire. Enjoy the weirdos, how to inspire. I don't really care about the bitch in front of me. Call me meat meals, ho, dreams to reality. I got the bull and I ain't dropping it. You can call me crazy, bitch, but don't call it on me. It's that backdoor shit, be put on the flow shit. Give them some more shit, big ones that fold it. You can't control it, baby, I'm slow. Hey, we need this for pleasure, so
such a fun video. Such a fun video. And that was the first thing I listened to you when I picked something first. I was like, I'm going to go with this video and just see what we got. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be awesome. So tell me a little bit about the concept of the video and the inspiration behind the song.
Yeah. So the Class Enrollment, first of all, shout out to Team Voodoo Visuals. Those are my heart, my production team, my creative team. They've been with me essentially since day one, just like the band. I'm very grateful that all the people that I've started building with like 3 years ago, I still have the same team 3 years later, ain't nobody, ain't nobody has gone anywhere. I'm like, you stuck with me.
Awesome.
But I'm very appreciative. I'm very grateful and humbled that, you know, especially as an independent artist, that, you know, I'm not signed. This is all coming off of the strength of like my back for right now. And then also, any sponsors that I'm able to pull to help like zhuzh up the budget a little bit. So, knowing that and having just a team of people around me who are like, we are rocking with you till the wheels fall off, and we don't know necessarily how it might turn out, but you know what, bitch, we are along for the ride. And that is, I'm so appreciative of that fact, and I never take that for granted, the people that are around me that dedicate their time and their talents, because honestly, Nikki, I am working with some of the most creatively talented people that yeah. I have come across in my entire life. And the fact that they take the time out to dedicate their creativity, their times, their effort and everything into a project that I'm doing that can, you know, help me get one step closer to basically getting it out to more people and getting it out to the masses is...
Well, and the cool thing is it's not a coincidence, because you're hyper creative. It makes sense that the people around you are also hyper creative. Like minds attract like minds.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So it makes total sense.
And it's, you know, I sort of feel like I'm living in like a Renaissance era almost, because it's just all the people around me are so incredibly talented and creative. And then it feeds into me to like push my creativity. But that was the birth of like class enrollment. So by me being able to, I wrote it when I was working with my producer, and in the middle of him like putting out the beat, I started to get really, really like frustrated during this text message conversation that I was having with this person. And they were sort of making me feel like I was lesser than what I was as a person. And my creative way sometimes, rather than me reading someone, rather than me telling you like, oh, well, fuck you, bitch, and all that stuff. Oh, I got fries, Nikki.
Ah, that's nice. Pass them down. Come on.
Here,
don't
you want
on me.
Nikki, you want a fry? These are Parmesan truffle fries. Ooh. And they are fantastic.
Killing me.
I'm just going to bite one on camera and I'm putting it down because I'm starving.
You know what? You can do it as you go, so don't worry. Don't worry.
I appreciate that, but I don't want to just be like chewing like a cow on camera. Because listen, when I eat. It's not cool. Yeah. So,
you and me both? Listen, I was eating dinner and spilling all over my shirt. I was like,
there ain't no date eating over here, sir. So I'll wait till we're off the interview to devour these fries.
We have to have a Philly cheesesteak somewhere in Philly, and also have some LA grub, because man, LA's got some food. We may not have Philly cheesesteaks like Philly, but we got some food.
That's our next segment. Our next segment, you can do a whole interview, ask me about the album as great cheesesteaks, and I tell you where in LA to go get a proper cheesesteak, and you can show me the LA spots and we'll talk about the album. Boom. Next segment. Done.
There it is.
Send it to the PR agent. We'll get it on the books.
You were in this punk band. I was reading in your bio, Rise from Ashes, right?
Yes.
And so, like, now that disbands and you're kind of growing as an artist, and then you got this amazing opportunity to open for Snoop and Travis Barker. Tell me, and the Soul Train Awards. Tell me what those experiences were like, and were those moments like you have arrived?
I never have a moment where I feel like I've arrived, like, because I don't know what that looks like for me. I think for me, when I can say that I can afford to do whatever I want creatively with no boundaries on the budget, then in my head, I've arrived.
Right.
But until then, I have so much work to do and so much hustling. But it's a good step in the right direction. Opening up for Snoop was amazing. Being able to go out to Vegas and play in one of like the biggest nightclubs that they had out there with the band.
That's amazing.
And seeing my name on like the massive marquee underneath like Snoop's name, and then hearing it on like the radio in Vegas, and like it, so that's what made me a little bit excited, because they were like, and featuring Snoop with Travis Barker, and wow, Ash, wow, and I'm like, holy shit, like, they said my name like I'm a whole celebrity or something. So,
well deserved.
You know, that was like a very amazing moment. And then getting invited to go out back again to Vegas for the Soul Train Awards, that was really, really surreal, because I had a chance to finally see like an award show and see like what that whole moment was. But I'll be honest with you, as I was sitting in the audience, all I kept thinking was, I want to be on stage performing. I want this to be me in like a few years. I appreciate the invite to sit in the seat, but I want to be on this stage.
I know that feeling. I actually, I got to take my parents to the Grammys when I wrote a song for Ziggy Marley, and it ended up winning for Best Reggae Album. His whole album won. But it was amazing, but I was also like, man, I just want to have my band up here performing and throwing down, because I know we can, and we deserve to be. And so I know that feeling very well. But you know what? Timing is everything. And sometimes the opportunity will present itself when the time is right. And you have to look at it like you're a fine wine, just kind of going through the motions and just, you know, aging in the right ways and just getting more seasoned and more nuanced and learning when that moment to strike comes. You know?
Absolutely. And I am a firm believer in timing, because everything, just the rate that I've been moving in terms of my music career, it's been leaps and bounds in this past 3 years segment. And I know I'm in LA. LA is the land of /this/this/this/this. Right. You know, so there's thousands and thousands of creatives. And for me to be able to have the progress that I've had in a 3 year period in a city where it's very competitive, and, you know, everyone
well deserved. I mean, you've been putting in your hours.
I appreciate it. It's a lot of practice, a lot of, you know, nights practicing by myself as a teenager on my guitar, writing songs.
I find it's not necessarily like a moment of arrival. It's several moments of arriving that people just, you're like ahead of the curve. People slowly catch on, and eventually, like, the hard work meets the opportunity. And it's just about working hard and just keeping at it, and then the opportunity will eventually find itself. Let's play another song. What are we going to play next?
So you are going to play my release, which is coming out on March 14th.
All right.
And this is also
on April 14th, right? March 14th.
Yes. Okay, here's the crazy thing. For some reason, I keep wanting this song to already be out. So I keep telling everyone, March 14th. And like, my team's like, girl, no. I even released promo once on my social. And like, shout out to my team, because 30 seconds later, they were like, you meant April 14th, right? And I was like, yeah, that's what I put. They're like, girl, you put March 14th. Take it down, put it back up. And I'm like, well, damn, y'all.
back to the future with the post, right? Back to the
future with that. Exactly. I was just like, just travel back in time. The song's already out. But yeah, it comes out on April 14th. And then the visual for it, which, if you see this lovely design studio that I'm in right now, I'm actually in the middle of having the costume for this music video that we're shooting this upcoming Thursday. I'll give you guys like a sort of a small hint, but they were paying homage to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. But like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but make it super trippy and dystopian.
Wait, I gotta show you something. Hold on.
Yes, please show me.
Hold on. You will appreciate this, all right? Because I got a golden ticket!
Like-minded. You're going to geek out when you see the music video and you see what we've put together. You're going to absolutely geek out.
One of my favorite movies, and I'm so excited. So what's the name of the song?
Called Pure Imagination.
Oh, perfect. Here's Wash Wow with Pure Imagination. Thank you.
running down my face. You a child, so know your place. Got me screaming to the left, to the left, to the left. All your fucking shit's in a box, to the left. This world you will see. Life is full of crazy situations. Take a breath, hold your head up high.
You heard it here first, ladies and gents. I love it. So slam.
You guys also caught me mid-cue.
Where can people find you online if they want to find you on Instagram or online or check out your music?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, wowashwow.com, wowashwow.com. You can also go on Google and type in Wow Ash Wow, and you will find me. I'm on there. So, yeah, that's pretty much Wow Ash Wow across the board on all socials and everything.
Well, Wow Ash Wow, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for being here in Hollywood. We're going to have to keep following your career. We're going to have to come back
in 3 months
and show us some new things.
Come here for a second. I want you to introduce, thank you so much to Troy at the Sugar Shack. This is my designer. All the
what's up, Troy?
Everything that you see.
Very cool.
Hold on, let me take this. Hear you.
How y'all doing? Yeah.
What's up, Troy? How are you, man?
6 feet above the ground and thankful.
You and me both, bro. You and me.
Good. Was it a good interview? Yeah.
It was super fun. And you know what? I love that there's commotion because it's like, there's stuff going on. There's like there's like a factory behind you guys just making stuff happen.
That's what,
we in the Sugar Shack. Getting ready for a video shoot. Yes.
Well, I can't wait for the video. We'll have to have you back on when you guys do the video.
Well, yes. Yes, absolutely. Got to have Uncle Troy on there. But thank you so much for having me.
No worries. Thank you, guys. Keep doing what you're doing, Wow Ash Wow. It's really, really tremendous, honestly.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. I am going to go eat these french fries because I'm hungry and thirsty.
You deserve it.
We are ready to turn the music up in this Sugar Shack and twirl around and get these costumes ready. So,
on behalf of Wow Ash Wow, myself and Sam, see you guys next week. Take care of each other. Check out her music on all major platforms. Wow Ash Wow. Peace and love, everybody. See
you. Bye, y'all.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.